Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. It is Election Day, and probably most importantly to most of you listening to this show, it is the start of college basketball officially for the 2019-2020 season. And of course, Indiana officially opens tonight at home against Western Illinois, a game that honestly, even for an undermanned Indiana team, like a lot of the games in this month of November, should not be a big challenge to the Hoosiers, but we'll clearly talk a lot about the game coming up here in the program. And I think we'd be remiss to not mention, I know the focus nationally will not be on Indiana or necessarily the Big Ten as a whole tonight with college hoops officially starting, but how can you not be excited about some big games tonight? Kansas and Duke at 7 o'clock to kind of officially start the season. And then from a Big Ten angle, you've got Michigan State and Kentucky at 9:30 tonight. It is going to be just a wonderful way to start the college basketball season. I know some fans, and some years Indiana has been involved in bigger games, at least their first time out in the season, you know, a nationally televised game or a game that's a lot more sexy on the outside of it than what Western Illinois is. But still, the season is here. There are some big games tonight. Indiana plays an opponent that they should, quite frankly, be able to make very easy work of tonight. And again, this is a what I call a learning opportunity for the Indiana team and the coaching staff and even for the fans to see what this team can do and how they can slowly maybe build a foundation that equals success and the opportunity for success when they get into December. Because after these seven November games, when, to be honest, I mean, Indiana should be 7-0 no matter who's healthy, who's not healthy. There should be very few challenges in this November month for Indiana. But when December gets here, obviously things are a little bit differently, whether it's a non-conference game like the Big Ten ACC Challenge matchup for Indiana or whether it's the two December Big Ten games, which obviously are so important for this Indiana team and really any team that is trying to make up some ground early, maybe get ahead of what their early or their projection is in the conference early with those two games. So interesting night for IU, great night for college basketball. And I always mention this on Election Day, and I especially want to say it today. It's local elections. I know in Kentucky they've got the governor's race and some other statewide offices. But in Indiana, basically, whether you're New Albany, Jeff, Clarksville, wherever you may be listening from, it's all local elections today. And no matter who you vote for, Republican, Democrat, no matter what candidate in a mayor's race or city council, town council race you like, it is so important that you get out there and vote, because so often you look at numbers and I pay attention obviously to New Albany where I live a little bit more than others, but across the area, it's unbelievable how few people vote, especially in local elections where there's not a presidential race or a big contested congressional race that's been all over television and the news driving voters to the poll. And often in local races, these are the people you're going to elect that can help you in your neighborhood, can help you with a problem, probably quicker and better than any other level of government. So make sure if you haven't already that you take time out today. Talk to some people in New Albany this morning. Talk to some people in Jeff this morning. Doesn't seem like it's big turnout by any means. in and out in most scenarios, especially if you go in the middle of the day, 5 minutes or less. So make sure, again, no matter the candidate, the party, it's just important you get out and vote. And I especially want to thank all of the candidates locally. So many of them we know, so many of them are involved in local sports and support local sports. So you get to know a lot of these people. It's tough to put your name on a ballot. It's tough to win an election and be held accountable to the voters, and it's also tough when you don't win. So my hat's off to everybody in all of our local communities that are trying to do what they think is best, and good luck to everybody out there. Make sure you get out and vote today. All right, let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Zaxby's headlines coming up here in just a few moments. We're going to talk about Indiana's opponent tonight, an injury update. I don't think there's going to be any surprises on this injury update for Indiana, and a little more Romeo Langford. It was very interesting to see some of the fans and some people that have always supported Romeo, and I'm sure still do, their reaction to him being sent down to the G League, at least temporarily, to the main Red Claws, which are the direct affiliate of the Boston Celtics. And dug into that a little bit more, tried to find what Brad Stevens, and it's not as easy to find with all the NBA topics out there and all the things going on with the Celtics right now, and even some of their big players, their big names. It's hard to find audio and hard to find exactly what's going on, but try to dig into that a little bit. So we're going to talk more about Romeo Langford coming up here in the headlines segment as well. Then later in the program, as always, on Tuesdays, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is with us. Our chat with Greg each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. I've got a handful of things I want to talk to Greg about. One of them is Romeo Langford, his thoughts on him being sent down to the G League. It seems like it's more of a rehabilitation assignment to get some live action, not just in practices, but some real minutes in games as well. And I don't look for it to be that long, but I'm curious Greg's thought on that. Also, Greg recently penned a column, a story about Tom Allen, and could he be – we know he's going to get some bonuses for some wins here lately and could maybe get some more bonuses if Indiana can find a way to win a couple more games. But is a raise due, is a new contract due, an extension of his current contract due, with Indiana getting to seven wins? And even if they don't win another game or don't win the bowl game, is it time that Indiana lock him in and make this a place that he's going to be for a while? We'll talk with Greg about that. And, of course, just generally the start of college basketball as well when Greg is with us. Again, presented by Coffee Crossing, coming up in segment number two. Later in the program, as always, segment three, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us. We're going to talk more about the IU game tonight, their opponent tonight, and some of the IU storylines in this game tonight as they open the season. And I'm guessing this, I mean, with each game that happens, in each result and each individual performance by players, obviously it gives us and fans and media a lot more to think about, talk about, write about, whatever it may be, have opinions on. But I do feel like in November, it's going to be a lot of the same. Indiana should win their games, as you would expect, against mid to lower level Division I opponents fairly handily. There should be a lot of different roster and maybe even starting lineup rotations that come through the lineup, especially with some injuries right now. And I think that a lot of what we talk about for the scrimmage last week against Gannon and a lot of what we talk about tonight could be some of the same things that reoccur over the next month, over the rest of this month, as Indiana really starts off with it may be, I think it is, one of the weakest non-conference schedules in the country. But I think if you're an Indiana fan, you have to be okay with that this season based on where the team is at personnel-wise and newcomer-wise and who's going to become the dominant scoring threats for this team. We think we know. I'm sure Archie Miller has a pretty good idea that he would be willing to say, here's what's going to happen. But sometime until you get out there, even if it is against a lower level or a mid-level opponent, you just don't know. So that's, to me, what this month is about. I don't know that ever we're going to get excited about a great game or a great crowd expected because it's just an absolute humdinger of a ball game set for Assembly Hall in the month of November. I don't think that at all. I think it's going to be about watching this team build and watching this team and the coaches, obviously an extension of that, learn about themselves and get ready for December, which is when there really are some exciting matchups, non-conference and conference games alike. So that's some of the stuff we'll talk about with Mike Pegram when he joins us, as always, later today. Stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany and mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch made to order for you. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. Love to hear from you. Question, comment for one of our guests, submit it to me. It might get read on the air. We might use it as a question for Greg or for Mike coming up later in the program today. And there's a couple of ways you can connect with us. You can follow me on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills. You can tweet me a question or a comment there. Also, the Hoosier Report has a Facebook page. We post the podcast there. We post other information about the show. And you can like us on Facebook, and you can also send us a message there as well, a question, a comment. And again, it might get used on today's program or a future program. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And let's start with headline number one, tonight's game. Again, none of these games are going to be sexy for this Indiana team or for fans to get into. These are lower level, mid-level Division I programs. Last season, Western Illinois had a great record, and I'm being sarcastic here, 10 wins and 21 losses. And this is a team that I don't remember their exact rating in the KenPom ratings, but out of 300 and something teams, I think they were in the 280s or the 290s last season. So again, this is a team that, in fact, might be one of the worst if you look at Indiana's non-conference schedule heading into this month of November. One interesting note about the team, as far as a name you should watch out for, is a guard. He's a junior named Kobe Webster, and he's actually from Indianapolis. He played high school basketball at Park Tudor. He's a 6-foot guard, averaged 17 points last season, and shot just about 41% on three-pointers as well. He looks to be all the way around in a lot of other categories as well, a key player for this Western Illinois team. So Kobe Webster, an Indianapolis product, is probably a name that you'll hear the most tonight for Western Illinois in a game. Again, this is a game that Indiana, you don't want to see them wait like they did against Gannon in the second half to turn it on and dominate this Western Illinois team. You want to see Indiana dominate this team from the get-go, even without Devontae Green, even without Rob Phinisee, and I'm going to talk more about injuries here in just a second. But that, to me, is the goal tonight for Indiana. It's not to let Western Illinois hang around, be a 2-3-point game like Gannon. Gannon takes a lead late in the first half momentarily. That's not what you want to see. You want to see Indiana, even without some key players, potentially take steps forward and bury this team, this lackluster team, for a lack of better description for them early in the contest. As far as injuries, I don't think there's anything new here. Most of this was discussed last night on Archie Miller's Coaches Show, which is now back on the Big X Mondays now that the season is here. Obviously, Devontae Green out with a hamstring. I don't think any surprise there. It sounds like that he's out this game for sure. Future games still up in the air, depending on, and a hamstring's a touch-and-go type injury. Rob Phinisee is potentially out. And if he were to play, obviously he's not at full strength. He wasn't expected to play in the exhibition game. Then he did log 13, 14 minutes in that contest, but with an abdominal injury, obviously that's another one of those touch-and-go injuries. You can feel pretty good one day, and after you overuse it or overdo it just a tad, you're out for a handful of days. So Rob Phinisee, does he play tonight, not play? I think earlier it was said that he likely would not go tonight for Indiana, but maybe a possibility for a few minutes, who knows. Interested tonight to see Al Durham return to the lineup. He's such a great communicator for this Indiana team, and I think he is a player that can really step into a much bigger role this season. He was voted as a co-captain heading into the year by his teammates. I think a big part of that's his communication ability, the fact that he's always talking, always communicating on the court. But good to see him back, we think, tonight, coming out of a concussion that was suffered during the closed scrimmage against Marquette a few weeks ago. But we have to keep in mind, when Al Durham is back out there tonight, that he's not going to be at full strength. He obviously hasn't been practicing at a normal rate. Obviously, he's not played any minutes in the exhibition game last week and had some minutes, obviously, before the concussion-like injury against Marquette a few weeks ago. But Durham expected to be back. And then you've got Jerome Hunter, who has obviously been at anything and everything we've seen Indiana do so far, all the way back to the Hoosier Hysteria scrimmage. But is he healthy enough to be at a level where he can compete throughout the game and where he can maybe not go 0-5 and foul out in 17 minutes? You want to see him take incremental steps forward tonight. And again, that's what these games are for, to try different lineups and for players that haven't been healthy, that have lots of potential to slowly work themselves back into a role that might be reflective of what's expected of them later in the season. So those are some things tonight, injury-wise, to pay attention to. And the final headline I want to get to quickly is more about Romeo Langford being reassigned to Maine. And I call it, to me, it's a rehabilitation assignment. You know, the bats across the river, a lot of times they get players that get dropped down from the Reds when they're injured. Sometimes players even go lower than that in baseball and work their way back through the system. And that's what I see this for Romeo. He's obviously a great talent. I think anybody in this area should know that. He obviously had some bad luck with injuries at Indiana and chose to play through them and still had a very, very successful freshman year. He obviously was good enough by NBA folks to be considered by a lot of teams as a lottery pick and a first-round draft pick, and he's not played any games. No summer league, 21 minutes and two games of preseason, 14 seconds against Milwaukee in Boston's come-from-behind win, which was a huge early-season win for Boston Celtics. So a lot of people can't believe he's going back to the minor leagues or going to the G League for, who knows, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe longer. It's a rehabilitation thing. It's an opportunity for him now that he is healthy and now that Boston season is well underway and there's not a lot of time for experiment, for him to get some confidence and for him to get some court time. And so it was interesting to hear what Brad Stevens said yesterday. And this is just a quote. He maybe had a couple quick sentences on Romeo. He said, quote, "We think he could really help us. This is the first step to him doing that, I think," end quote. And again, he's talking about the first step now that Romeo is actually healthy, not just being a practice player for the team, not trying to get some scrap minutes when Boston's way ahead or way behind, but now that the season is rolling and he's really not in their rotation of players, going to Maine and getting lots of minutes in a pressure-free environment makes, I think, all sorts of sense. And I can't imagine that it's going to be a long assignment. He's a lottery pick. Boston is paying him a lot of money. They're not going to write him off this quick with the number of injuries that he's had. This is simply an opportunity for him to continue to get healthy, to continue to get some minutes, and really to get back in the swing of things instead of hoping for 5 minutes at the end of a game or a couple minutes here if somebody goes out with foul problems or were to get hurt for the Celtics. I did find it interesting that Brad Stevens, in that same little clip where I read the quote that he thinks he could help, and this is the first step, him going to Maine, of doing that, of helping the Boston team, he mentioned that in practice, before and leading up to the Milwaukee game, which I think was Thursday or Friday of last week, that Romeo was very important mimicking the Bucks and some of their key players in practice, and that he felt like that was when he looked his best so far because he was getting lots of reps in practice as they were scrimmaging and practicing and going against Milwaukee's stuff for the game that night, for the game leading up to it, I'm sure for a couple days. So, and again, Romeo, Boston way behind early in that game. They come back, end up winning the game. Boston, or Milwaukee, excuse me, by many people is projected to be an Eastern Conference favorite this year. So for Boston to score a win over them with a very transitional roster themselves right now, that obviously was a huge early season game. So I wouldn't hit the panic button on Romeo Langford. That's what I'm saying. To me, this is a rehabilitation assignment. I look for this to be good for him. Clearly, Boston has a vested interest in him right now and clearly is going to give him a shot. I don't think there's any question about that, albeit may not be a shot that happens as quick as we'd like it to see. He might slowly get worked in even when he returns from Maine. But I think going there and getting some reps up and down and getting in an environment where he is the go-to player and going to have the ball a lot is a good thing for him, given how long he's been out, given all the major and minor injuries that he's faced. even since he's been at Boston, I think this is a good thing. We'll talk more about it with Greg Doyle in the next segment. Those are the Zaxby's headlines. Try the Southern TLC filet sandwich, a buttermilk marinated breast filet served with lettuce, tomato, and mayonnaise at your local Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing, after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, always with us Tuesdays. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing, who would like to invite everyone to their newest location, which is located in downtown New Albany. They are turning their own bakery at 140 East Main Street into the fifth Coffee Crossing location for you to enjoy. And that fifth location is now open and ready to go. So when you're in downtown New Albany next and looking for a great cup of coffee or drink, make sure you check out Coffee Crossing at 140 East Main Street in New Albany. Greg Doyle, my guest today. Greg, so many things going right now. A great time of year, and college hoops officially get started tonight. I know Indiana fans excited about just generally this season opening. Obviously, tonight's game against Western Illinois isn't one that's going to catch a whole bunch of national attention or anything like that. But, boy, the Champions Classic is, with Kansas and Duke and Michigan State of the Big Ten and Kentucky. That's a tremendous way to open the season. I can't wait to settle in tonight and watch college hoops for the first time in many, many months.
Such an exciting time of year, and I do think the New Albany mayor ought to be giving the Coffee Crossing folks a key to the city for all the business and attraction they're bringing to the city. That's what you meant, right? The exciting time of year with that?
Yes.
Because that's what I'm excited about.
And I'm sure the New Albany mayor will be excited. He's up for re-election today. It's election day as well. So.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. But, yeah, I'll be at the Western Illinois game, IU game, and not because it's going to be a great game, although who the heck knows. I was there when Indiana State beat IU by 20 in the first game of Archie's career. So you just never know what will happen early in the season. But I'll be there just because, you know, first chance to look at these guys and what they look like. And a lot of them aren't going to be playing, apparently. But Trace Jackson Davis, Norman Franklin in particular, I want to see them.
Yeah, no question about it. They have been exciting to date with the one open exhibition game and even in the box score and other reports in the closed game against Marquette. I think we all knew or thought that Trace Jackson Davis, a homegrown player right here in the state who we got to see a lot of big state tournament games, got better each and every year, has a great basketball pedigree. I think we thought there was a chance for him to be a special college player. And very early on, it seems like he's well on that track. Archie Miller has been very, very complimentary of him. And obviously, he looked great in the scrimmage, and we'll see how he continues to do this month. But Armon Franklin has been, I think, a welcome surprise, and maybe a surprise that we wouldn't have known about here in early November if it wasn't for some of these injuries that Indiana's going through.
Yeah, when I saw Armon Franklin in high school and in an all-star game or two, and then just really from those two things, I know I told you this one a few weeks ago, I didn't really see it. I saw a Big Ten player, obviously he can play, but I didn't see, you know, why are you ranked in the top 150 recruits? I hadn't seen it. He didn't do anything. And it wasn't like when he was scoring 30 in these all-star games or the games I saw and I just was missing it. He wasn't doing anything. So I was wrong, I guess. We'll see. But he has been the revelation of preseason as far as playing point guard because Green has been injured and Finney's been out too, playing the point, but also just taking care of business. Armon Franklin is the real deal. One thing about Trace Jackson Davis I find really interesting is that Archie Miller said yesterday they apparently track their scoring in practice. I don't know, maybe that's only in scrimmage situations. I really don't know what that means, but they track their scoring. And he said Trace Jackson Davis has more than 100 points more than anybody else on the team in practice scoring. And I get it, it's practice scoring, I get it. But still, when you're a freshman, 6'9", 6'10", God's All-American, is far and away your most productive player in practice as a freshman,
that's a good, obviously, a really good thing.
Yeah, no question about it. Greg Doyle, the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. One more thing about the start of IU's basketball season officially tonight. We've talked a lot about this leading up to the season as we kind of go through this team and its personnel and the question marks that surround this team. There have been some years, even recent seasons, when Indiana's not projected to be one of the best in the Big Ten or in college hoops, that they've opened up, you know, within the first couple of weeks with a big game or two, a game against a big non-conference opponent or a early season matchup or tournament of sorts that around the Thanksgiving time that obviously get fans excited about things. But that's not the case this year. It's really a pretty bland schedule, other than the fact that basketball for the Hoosiers is finally back. There isn't anything about these first six, seven opponents that get you too excited. But I think that fits this team well with where they're at now and where they want to be in December and, of course, at the new year and going into the tournament perhaps. This sort of start, it looks like, has been well constructed, probably for good reason, by Archie Miller and the IU athletic staff.
Well, there's two ways to look at that, positive and negative. The positive way is when you're young and not full of NBA talent and putting your pieces together and you don't know what you have and you haven't won a whole lot in the last couple of years, you just need some confidence and some all that stuff, this is the kind of schedule you want. This will position you going forward. That's the positive. The negative is none of that should be said about Indiana basketball ever. That shouldn't be, and I don't know if this makes me the bad guy or just the honest guy, but IU basketball should not be in a position where they've got to schedule six cupcakes because they're afraid what will happen if they play somebody real. Let's be real. That's what you do if you're, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. That's what you do if you're Valpo. You know, that's what you do if you're Ball State. It's not what you do if you're IU, but that's what they've had to do. That's where they are.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. IU football, we've had the opportunity.
He's going to let that sit there like a bad smell, huh?
You're
move on.
You're the opinion guy. I'm just asking the questions, man. You're the one that moves the needle. So.
Yeah, I just move. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Greg, IU football, probably talking more IU football here in early November than I have in a number of years. This team won a big one on Saturday night. I think now the question becomes, I saw Florida State came open. I read something this morning that maybe Bob Stoops is the favorite, according to a lot of people, for that job. Who knows how that plays out. But with the success that IU has had this year, and I guess the rebuild that Tom Allen is leading for this Indiana team, does Indiana give him more money? I know he's going to get some natural bonuses for win totals and bowl games and other things still that he could accomplish this season. But does Indiana try to lock him down to a longer contract to keep him in Bloomington? Is that something you expect once the regular season ends that becomes a storyline for this team and for Coach Allen?
Yeah, and maybe even before that, they need to. They need to for two reasons. One is he's earned it. He is the lowest paid coach in the Big Ten. When the lowest paid coach in the Big Ten has a 7-2 record and has, you know, gone on the road and beaten some road, won some road games, won a good home game. And anyway, that guy shouldn't be the lowest paid coach in the Big Ten. So they got to rectify that. But also, when you are the IU football coach and the you know, we all know the tradition here, it's not great. And you're 7-2 and you're probably going to win 8 or 9 games this year. Who knows what's going to turn out. And you've got Florida connections because you've worked down there and you continue to recruit very, very well in the most important recruiting state in the country. You're going to be at least looked at by schools with openings. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, the hot name on the block. He's not, but his name now will raise some eyebrows. I think Florida State's too much. I'm not surprised he's been linked to it because on the surface it makes sense. His Florida connection, how good IU football's doing. They need a coach. I mean, there are some numbers there that add up, but I think Florida State is just eating from a different part of the buffet that Tom Allen hadn't reached that part of the buffet yet, but we'll see. But they absolutely need to lock him up for two reasons. One is he's earned it. And two is that someone will come along, whether it's Florida State or someone a little bit lower, someone will come along and offer him $3 million or more. You better make sure he's already making that.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Speaking of Florida, kind of keeping an eye, like everybody, on potential bowl games for this team. And I know that could go up a level or so if they were to score a couple more victories this season. I guess with each win, really, maybe the opportunity to play in a little more prestigious bowl game exists. But can you imagine? I saw IU not – I think Red Box Bowl was the main, maybe Music City, a lot of mentions right now for this team. But one or two projected or linked or wrote about the possibility of, I think, maybe the Gator Bowl. What a big deal if this IU program with Tom Allen, and you mentioned his connections to that state and down south that make him a possibility for other teams to come in and want to swoop him away. Can you imagine Tom Allen, this IU team, getting opportunity to play in Florida where he has some great connections, and you want to talk about rebuilding and continuing to recruit the way that Indiana needs to? That could be a huge deal for this team if it worked out.
Yeah, and if Michael Penix is under center, because he is a Florida kid and a very, very, very well-known Florida kid who was in Florida just a couple years ago. So with his injuries, you just never know. But, yeah, if they go on the field in the Gator Bowl with that guy under center, and that is a huge statement. They don't need him under center to make this huge statement. I mean, what you're saying is right. But I think it's just magnified if Michael Penix is their quarterback as well, is healthy enough to do it. So that is that's shocking. You know, if you had said to me, or if anybody had said to you in August that on November 5th we're going to talk about the Gator Bowl as a real possibility for IU, I mean, first of all, we all would have said, well, you'll take that in a heartbeat. But second of all, we all would have said, that's a bit much. But that's where they are.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us, presented by Coffee Crossing. A couple other topics I want to get to. One is Romeo Langford and his reassignment to the main Red Claws in the G League. Your take on that, is it just the opportunity to get some real game action, and now that the NBA season is underway and the Boston lineup is, I don't want to say set, but they've had some success early and there probably aren't a lot of minutes right now with him missing preseason and summer to fit him in? How did you take the news that he's going to the Red Claws, at least temporarily?
Well, let me ask you a question, and I don't know the answer, and maybe you don't either, and forgive me for asking if you don't, but is Carson Edwards going to the G League?
No, I have not seen another player went down. It was not him. I can't think of the name, but I think the Celtics played last night. Maybe they played tonight, but in the last game that I looked at the box score, I think he had 13 or 14 minutes. Carson Edwards did.
I mean, that is remarkable. Now, what has happened with Romeo has not happened in a vacuum, and there's factors here, but that is remarkable that they drafted Carson Edwards and Romeo Langford. Now, again, one of these prediction things, if you told me in September that one of those guys is going to the G League, well, you would have said, well, obviously, we know who it is. Although, then again, in September, I might have guessed Romeo, because, again, not in a vacuum. He's had the injuries, doesn't have the conditioning, but also, you know, put together a shot after having thumb surgery, changed his motion, and he needs reps, he needs confidence. They understand they're dealing with a 10-year player. Or they hope they're dealing with a 10-year player, not a instant gratification, let's get what we can out of him now before he leaves. He's there for a long, long time if he pans out. And the best way to make him pan out, the best way to have him be great in 2023 is in the main right now. It's kind of remarkable. That's how it's going. One thing that I thought was interesting about Romeo is that before the Celtics played the Bucks, their scout team, he was on the scout team, and he was the guy, Brad Stevens said, you be Giannis, you know, give us a Giannis look. We need to, you know, you're not obviously there is no Giannis. There's a reason he's the Greek freak, but you're long and athletic and skilled, and you know, you're going to be Giannis and take it to us. And apparently that was the best Romeo's looked yet in Boston. And Stephen said, you know, kind of with a smile, like, well, yeah, it's easy to look good when you have skill like that, but all you have to do is go and just make every play. It's easy when, in other words, when you don't have to run an offense, you don't have to, he didn't say think too much, but just play basketball. And that makes you wonder, well, is there an issue with the, you know, learning the system and all that? I have no idea, but is he just at his best when he just go play basketball? Is that what that means? Or does it mean merely, look how good he is. He can do that. Let's go get him to the G League. Let him go do that there, build some confidence up, and then bring him back.
Greg, he's obviously a lottery pick. He's obviously getting paid a lot of money. There have been some local people and maybe people elsewhere, I don't know, but, oh, my gosh, the Celtics already are giving up on – Romeo, you know, he's had so many injuries and this isn't fair. He, you know, he hasn't played to his potential in practices, whatever people are saying, that obviously probably isn't correct. But from your vantage point, and you know the NBA a lot better than me, but this is not anything like that. He's a lottery pick. They are going to give him an opportunity at some point, you would have to think. This is in preparation of that. Wouldn't you see it that way?
I would. We almost have not seen, though, this situation. I don't mean a lottery pick going to the G League, although we almost haven't seen that either. But, I mean, you almost don't see a guy, a lottery pick, who undergoes surgery on his shooting thumb in May. I mean, it wasn't like he did it in February. I mean, he played the season for IU despite knowing he needed surgery. Had the surgery whenever it was, April, May. And then not just came back from that, but then put his shot, took it apart and put it back together in a different way. And yet is still healthy enough to play as a rookie. That doesn't happen. Like, normally, if you go through that kind of surgery, that kind of shot change, all that stuff, you'd say, well, you're going to be like a Ben Simmons type or whatever. I don't realize injuries are different, but you're going to miss your rookie year, and you'll come back as a second-year rookie, and we'll see how good you are. But you're not so healthy that you can play. You're just not ready yet for the NBA. So we've just never seen this. It's not. So what I'm telling you is I don't know what it means, because there's no track record that says, well, this is what happens to guys like Romeo when they've been through it. No one's been through what Romeo's been through and still able to play and also play on a team that's apparently fairly deep. I don't know what to make of this. I'm not saying it's harmless, it means nothing, but I'm certainly not saying they've given up on him. I'm just saying that we just can't possibly know what this means.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, brought to you each week by Coffee Crossing. Final subject, and this is something that you're probably the only person I talk Indy 500, Indianapolis Motor Speedway with, and it's right before or right after the 500 each year is kind of one of our topics to discuss heading in or coming out of the race. But I think we got to bring it up. It's an Indiana thing. Big announcement, I think big surprising announcement this week that Indianapolis Motor Speedway and all of its holdings and associated companies have been sold to the Penske Group. Did that catch you by surprise? It seemed to catch many people, even those very close to the sport, by surprise earlier this week.
Stunner. I mean, it blew my mind right when I saw that headline and clicked on the story. There's been rumors of Indy, IndyCar might be for sale for a year or two. And no one's been able to confirm it. I mean, how they kept the secret? Can you imagine if Wojnarowski was covering IndyCar? How they kept this secret? Because this is a nuclear bomb going off. How you keep that? How you announce that in a press conference or in a news release? And not have it leaked somewhere, it blows me away. But I'll say this: that if you said the IndyCar, they're going to sell the whole sport. I mean, they sold the sport. This is like George Steinbrenner buying the Major League Baseball back in the day. But if you said we're selling the sport, who should we sell it to? The first thing you'd say is, well, you'd like to sell it to Roger Penske, but since that's not going to happen, let's see who realistically you could sell it to. And then you go, wait a minute, Penske will buy it? Well, that's the home run. And this wasn't Penske's idea. This wasn't a venture capitalist with money saying, hey, I want to buy your sport. This was Tony George having the humility to say, we've owned this sport since it was created almost. We've owned the Speedway since it was built almost. But we've taken it as far as we can take it, and we love both. We love it all so much that we want to see it go farther. We are going to reach out to Roger Penske and see if he'll take it off our hands. And that's what happened. This wasn't Penske's idea. It's mind-blowing.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, brought to you by Coffee Crossing. Greg, thanks for the chat. College hoops is here. IU football looking good. Plenty to write about, plenty to talk about. Always look forward to it on Tuesdays.
Me too, Matt. Thank you. See you.
All right. Greg Doyle, brought to you by Coffee Crossing. They want to invite everybody to their newest location, downtown New Albany, located at 140 East Main Street. It's their own bakery that they've turned into the fifth Coffee Crossing location. So if you're out and about, make sure you check out the new Coffee Crossing located in downtown New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, more on IU and their opponent tonight, more on IU and a couple recruiting topics as well from a basketball perspective. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com joins the program. As always, in the next segment, we'll be back after this, a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us. We're going to talk about IU's season opener tonight. They host Western Illinois. 7 o'clock tip-off at Assembly Hall. Pre-game coverage with Don Fisher and crew on the IU Network begins here on the Big X at 6 o'clock tonight. Mike, like a lot of the games forthcoming this year on this schedule in November, not a whole bunch to get excited about this Western Illinois team. It's more about watching this Indiana team, some of the newcomers, some of the freshmen, and some of the different roles, especially once again tonight, that players will likely be put in because of Devontae Green and possibly Rob Vennessy out with injuries.
Yeah, exciting time nonetheless. And I would say that Midwestern lower major teams, you know, Western Illinois being one of those, are usually better than the lower mid-majors you see in the rest of the country. And so I'm looking forward to it. A start of a whole new season. You got IU football with 7 wins. It's just a lot of things going on right now in IU athletics. It's making it fun to head over to Bloomington. And this is going to be a chance to see some new faces for Indiana. And we'll definitely see Armon Franklin, the freshman guard, because of the injury to Devontae Green and maybe Rob Fennessy being limited some. And he's been playing well based on the scrimmage against Marquette and then last week's exhibition, but we'll see in the real situation. And, of course, a five-star makes his debut and Trace Jackson Davis.
No question. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. And, again, this is Mike mentioned the football and the basketball. It's a great time if you're not already a member of the Pegs.com community to subscribe and check out all their great coverage, of course, with Indiana heading to a bowl game and still some key regular season games left and obviously the start of IU basketball as well. I think tonight when you're playing a lower-level team and especially where Indiana's at this season and the question marks surrounding them, these games are about seeing development, seeing minor improvements even within your own team and who you're following, who you're covering. So tonight, when you think about the chance to see Armon Franklin log more minutes early in the season that he may not get with a healthy Indiana lineup in there on a regular basis, and then, of course, to see Trace Jackson Davis, who I think people are so hopeful with the start of his college career and with the great comments that Archie Miller has had to share about him and how practices have went thus far, and, of course, even the exhibition game last week, which everyone got to see. I think there's a lot of hope about this Indiana freshman class, even more so than maybe what there was back in the summer when these guys were on campus working and getting stronger for this moment.
Yeah, and tonight would be actually a pretty good gauge for Armon Franklin because Western Illinois has a leading scorer in the Summit League, Kobe Webster, a really good guard, and another guard, a senior guard who averaged 11 points a game last year. So this is a big step up from the from last week's exhibition level of guard that Armon had to face. And, the freshman class is definitely looking better because I think Armon, we thought that he had a lot of things in his toolbox that would maybe take some time, but he was going to be a good player maybe in 2 or 3 years, but it looks like he could play a bigger role his first year than most of us thought.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Mike is with us on Tuesdays as we talk IU basketball and more. I did not realize this until reading the preview, and there's all sorts of preview information on the Pegs.com site if you're a subscriber, but Western Illinois with a couple Indiana connections. Obviously, you mentioned their key player is from Indianapolis and is from Park Tudor and was a really good high school player in our state and is now the leading scorer, it looks like, once again this year, expected to be for Western Illinois, but also their coach as well, Billy Wright, an Indiana product, actually from Richmond, Indiana. So a couple Hoosier connections on this opening opponent, I should say, for Indiana tonight.
Yeah, I want to say Billy Wright coach Jeff T, who's, you know, been a great NBA player. In fact, I think I'm pretty sure about that. And there's a lot of really good players that were at Pike for many years, and I'm sure he's coached some of them. But he was an Indianapolis coach, and he's recruited this city pretty regularly. I think they have another player, Anthony Jones, joining the team this year. He's from Indianapolis. He's been at junior college recently, but he's another guy that's definitely on the radar of a lot of people that follow high school basketball or watched a couple of years ago. So, and it's worked out. I mean, it's not very far from Western Illinois to Indianapolis, and so it's maintained a lot of good players from over there have come to play for Billy.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest last night on the Archie Miller Coaches Show, which we are now airing Mondays now that the season is back. Mike Roberts, the new assistant coach, was the guest of Coach Miller and Don Fisher on that program last night. And I thought, you know, a lot of times the show you get, you know, regular updates on the team, and sometimes you get some good stuff. Sometimes it's just, you know, the things you would expect to hear about players and about situations with the team as they head into to some of their opening games. But he was, I thought Mike Roberts was very interesting. He mentioned this Indiana team, and after talking about his background and moving across the country, he was asked some specific questions about this team and his job there. And he talked about not really being in a situation at the Division I level before, where basically every scholarship player on the roster had the potential to play and to earn minutes this season. And he mentioned that, quote, "we can come at you in waves," which I think is an interesting way to look at this Indiana team. There truly are, from top to bottom, when you look at scholarship players only, there truly are a lot of guys that are competing for minutes and have the opportunity or will have the opportunity, I would think, to log minutes on a somewhat regular basis for this team this season, especially early on.
Yeah, I think it's a reflection of Archie Miller. He's not a coach that'll take a flyer on somebody just to fill a need. He's got, you know, two unused scholarships, but he'd rather have 11 guys he knows can play and then not use those scholarships and use them maybe the next year with some players he really likes. And now this year's team, because I think Armand was the only guy that that we weren't sure about then playing right away, has come on, and then everyone else has been in the system for a bit, or is a five-star in the case of Trace Jackson Davis, or in the case of Joey Brunk, has been a, you know, major college basketball player for a lot of time already. So this is a team that everybody can do something. Nobody throws out there, unless it's a walk-on, is going to make the fans just get paranoid.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. One recruiting question, and I don't think there's been any development or anything new, but fans are obviously interested. Dawson Garcia was at Indiana a week ago for an official visit, and it's kind of been ho-hum since then. Not a lot of information, but he is getting ready, I believe, still for a return visit to Marquette this weekend. And then the expectation has been that sometime after that visit, he may be ready to make a decision. Do you think we'll hear more from him as far as an announcement date, when a decision could come, or maybe even his actual college choice after this weekend and after his visit back to Marquette?
Yeah, I think they would like to commit, but if he's not ready, they'll wait. The November signing period starts a week from tomorrow and runs for about a week, and that they would hope that he would be ready to pick, but if not, that's why they haven't said they're going to definitely sign, because he's having, you know, Marquette and Indiana seem to be really neck and neck for him. And he hasn't visited Marquette in about a year. He went as a junior year official, so it's definitely possible that this visit could really help Marquette. So, but all our indications are that he really enjoyed his Bloomington official visit of a couple weeks ago, and that's really vaulted the Hoosiers to a real good chance there.
Talking to Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. All right, one football question before we let you go. Obviously, it's a bye week and off week for this Indiana team, but it's still fun to look at where they are projected to go now at 7 wins as far as a bowl game, and where if they could find a way to 8 or 9 wins even with an upset bid and a win over Purdue on the road, where they could be at. Your projection, what's the Pegs.com thought right now on this IU team? And at least right now, where it stands now, looking not just at Indiana, but the Big Ten and some other factors that play into it, where you could see them going?
Well, I think right now, in terms of the hierarchy, they would fall to the Red Box Bowl in California, but the bowl people will like to switch teams, and Indiana was there just a few years ago in their last bowl appearance, and I think the Bulls might work together to make there'd be a different Big Ten team if that's how, if everything stays the same as today. Win in any of these next two games, being Penn State and Michigan, would be an upset and therefore put Indiana to a better bowl. I think the best bowl possibility that's pretty realistic is the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville. And I think that Indiana fans would love to do that, and that would mean a pretty good opponent from the ACC or possibly from the SEC. But that would be a I think it's realistic, but they might have to definitely have to win against Purdue in the final game to get to 8 wins to make that happen.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, always with us Tuesdays. IU basketball, a little recruiting, and, of course, continuing to talk IU football as this team at 7 wins now. Mike, thanks for the chat, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, look forward to it, Matt. Take care, everyone.
All right, the college basketball season officially underway today. Again, you've got the opportunity to watch Indiana tonight. You've got also the opportunity to see Michigan State, who is projected to be the best in the Big Ten and maybe one of the best teams in the country when it's all said and done. Some other great games on a national level as well. I think really, in addition to IU, and of course you put that game on the list because we follow IU, you're a fan, I follow the team, whatever the case may be. Outside of Duke and Kansas and Michigan State and Kentucky, there's two or three other games of interest tonight as well in the college basketball landscape as things get underway. So Tuesday, College Hoops is here, and from this point forward, lots of basketball forthcoming, both from an IU flavor and really across College Hoops from this point on. Basically every night within reason, some games of interest to follow, and it means we're getting into a great time of year. Holidays coming, high school basketball just around the corner, and, of course, college and NBA underway as of today. Don't forget to get out and vote. Election day, local elections. These are candidates you probably know and candidates that can affect you the most, so make sure you take 5 minutes and hit the polling site closest to you today. Don't forget also with our show, if you miss us, we have a replay most days here at 3 o'clock on the Big X. And you can find us as a podcast at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Or you can look us up at Apple Podcast. We are there for you as well. Have a great day. I'll be back with you Wednesday at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.